copyrighted program transcribed and dedicated to the prevention of crime.
Calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 167. Stand by to assist narcotic squad in apprehending dope ring. That is all. Norton.
Conscious of the dangers of narcotics, dope. Most of the nations are banded together by treaties to assist each other in stamping out the evil. Each has specialists at work on the problem. In the United States, this campaign of prevention and suppression rests in the hands of the officers of the narcotic squads, federal, state, and municipal. It is highly specialized work and dangerous because the narcotic agent works best when he works alone, undercover. He must meet cunning with cunning and never, never drop his disguise, which as a rule is that of a dealer in drugs. For the peddler, especially the one who deals in large amounts, is cautious, oily, and ruthless. Such is the story you will hear. The Whistling Snowbird. October 1936. Deep in the interior of Lavangler's Oriental section, two unkempt men browse through the narrow alley-like streets. To the observer, they are just a part of the never-ending line of food-seeking scavengers whose hungry eyes seek for scraps of anything edible to stave off starvation. But under the filthy clothes, the matted beards, these two men are interested in a far greater reward than food. They are two alert, watchful narcotic squad workers, Lieutenants Wallace Greeton and Raymond Clark, making careful notes as they go. A dope drive is underway.
You are wanting something?
Oh, just looking around, seeing the sights.
You are having money?
Maybe.
Better maybe you are leaving. My people not enjoying a sightseer.
Maybe you could tell us where we might find some fun. You know, a happy fun.
And not understanding. You leave now.
Oh, sure you understand. Fun.
Not understanding. So sorry.
All right, all right. How much for the pencils, partner?
Well, 5 cents.
No, not that kind. I mean your good ones.
Oh, 5 cents.
Look, see if you can savvy this. We want white pencils. Happy pencils, you understand?
Understanding, please. Pencil, 5 cents.
Okay, skip it.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm skipping, please.
following morning in Captain Eddie Chitwood's office.
Hiya, boys.
Oh, morning, Eddie.
Hello, Eddie. How's she going? Any results?
You tell him, Ray.
Okay. No results, no sale, nothing.
Those plant-eyed devils don't know what it means to talk. All they can say is, understanding, please. Oh, yes, understanding, please. Bunch of parrots.
You boys don't sound too happy about it. Who would? After spending nights running around those joints only to hear the same thing every time we ask a question.
That's the one thing you just can't do to an Oriental, Ray. Ask questions. The minute you do, they forget how to speak English. And boy, I know.
Yeah, we know, too. The only trouble being the fact that we don't speak their language.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we better do, boys. If you think there's a new shipment of morphine in town, from all I can gather, it's a big one. Enough to supply every addict in Southern California. And what's more, we've got to locate where it's being stored, who's peddling it, and who's behind the deal.
Aside from that, there's nothing to worry about, right?
That's right, Ray. Only don't sound so pessimistic about it. Now, I've got an idea.
Good. I'm glad somebody has an idea. I've run out of them at this point.
I doubt that, Wally. Never come a time yet when you couldn't think something up when it was needed. However, this idea of mine can only be worked by one man.
How about my doing it, Eddie?
Hey, wait a minute. I'm no
fool. Oh, take it easy, easy. I haven't even told you what it's all about yet, and you're fighting about who's going to do it.
Well, sure, but if there's going to be any fun...
I'm going to do it alone.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, this has got to be a one-man job. And here's the little man who's going to do it. I'm sorry, boy.
You mean we can't even get in on it?
Well, I'll need you both a little later on, but in the beginning, you can just relax. Take it easy.
Well, suppose you give us a clue. You know, a vague idea of where to ship the body and all that.
Yeah, sure. I'll be glad to. Beginning tomorrow... Captain Eddie Chitwood is out of town. You know, gone, left, not here.
Yeah? I understand you're out of town.
Right. Only I'm not out of town. Also starting tomorrow, my name is Eddie Spencer. And I don't like the police. And I'm a bigger and better morphine buyer from the East. You get it?
Vaguely. You're going in for a little private dope buying.
I hope. The thing is, so far, beyond those few little peddlers you boys have talked to, we haven't any idea who the cop is. Now, this Eddie Spencer intends to spend enough time in the district to worm his way into the confidences. And eventually, I hope to meet the big boy himself.
Sounds pretty risky to me, Eddie. Suppose one of those boys you sent up a while back just happens to see you. Think how much it'd be worth to him to peddle that information to some of that ring. And if he did, where would you be?
Floating, face down in the Los Angeles River, most likely.
Exactly. Those boys don't fool around.
And neither do we, Ray. So tomorrow, I'm off. You two might sort of keep a check on me if you want to, just in case I need you, but don't tell anybody else where I am. This is one of those jobs where two's more than company. It's a crowd.
And the following day, Chitwood carries out the first step in his dangerous plan. Becomes Eddie Spencer, big-time dope peddler in search of morphine. For several weeks, he frequents dingy Oriental dens, talking just enough to let anyone interested know that he's looking for a business deal, that he has plenty of money to play with. But as the days go by and no contact is made, his hopes begin to go down. Determined to stick with it as long as is humanly possible, he continues to make the rounds. And one night, in a small restaurant, as he sits alone, finishing a tasty dinner of fried rice and shrimp, a small, nervous-looking Oriental comes to his table, introduces himself.
You, Mr. Spencer, yes?
Charles?
You looking for something to buy?
Maybe.
That is good. If you would be interested, I might be able to help you.
How do I know you're on the up and up?
I will show you. If you are interested at all.
Well, I don't know anything about you, but I'll listen to your proposition. What's the deal?
We cannot talk here. You'll come with me to my friend.
Now, wait a minute. Listen. I don't like too many people in on my business. You can tell me enough to know whether or not I'm interested right here. In the first place, what can you supply me with?
Oh, not able to tell you. My friend, he knows.
No, I don't like it. You can take your choice now. Tell me what I want to know right now, or forget the whole thing.
You come with me. My friend...
I know, your friend will tell me, but that's not. I don't go anywhere with you until I get an answer.
If I were to tell you it is morphine, would you come to my friend?
Perhaps.
Then I say... It is morphine. Your very best. You come now?
Where is your friend's place?
You come with me. I shall.
Okay. I'll talk to your friend. Only I'm warning you, if this stuff isn't the best, no deal.
Oh, yes. Very best of stuff. You come.
Captain Chitwood, hoping that his diminutive guide will supply the first link in his long search, patiently follows through narrow alleys, his eyes constantly watching for some sign of danger. After a seemingly endless journey, the little Oriental stops before a rickety old building, motions for Chitwood to follow behind him, then opens a squeaking door, starts up a dark flight of stairs.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
What is this? I don't like the look of this place.
My friend is here. You come.
All right, then. Go ahead.
You come in, please. This, my friend, Nasaki.
You will sit down, yes?
It's all right, Nasaki. You can tell me what I want to know standing up.
Nasaki,
it's
all right.
Oh, that's fine. Now, how about it, Nasaki?
You want morphine, yes?
That's right. If it's any good, I'll want plenty.
Oh, I have only a bit.
I'll know more about that when I see it.
But, having none right now.
What? Wasabi, I thought you said...
No. Do not blame my friend Wasabi. I will have more soon, but right now, having none.
Oh, that's too bad. I can't wait for a shipment to come in. I've got to have action right away. Come on, Wasabi. Show me the way out of this place.
Oh, please, 1 minute. If you come with me, I know a friend who has some.
How do I know he won't pull the same thing as Wasabi here?
You want morphine?
That's right.
You come with me to friend. He have it.
All right. I'll take your word for it, Nasaki. Let's go.
Oh, sorry.
Hey,
so once again, Chitwood makes a journey, this time led by Osabi's friend, Nasaki. After several minutes of walking, they enter a small restaurant, seat themselves at a secluded table. Excusing himself, Nasaki leaves Chitwood alone for a few minutes, then returns with another Oriental. And after an exchange of brief formalities, the newcomer gets down to business.
My friend Nasaki tells me you are wanting morphine. That is correct, Mr.
That is entirely correct. I understand you can supply it.
I can?
Mm-hmm, yes. If it's any good, I'm ready to buy 5 pounds.
It is good, but... 5 pounds.
What's the matter with that?
Only that I not have that much. So sorry, Mr. Spencer.
You can't get me 5 pounds?
Sorry, but... I have idea how you can get that much.
Don't tell me you have a friend, too.
I have friends. There is chance they might help you.
All right. Where do we go to see these friends of yours?
I will take you to them. Only one thing, Mr. Spencer.
Yeah?
My friends, they are very particular. You will let them speak our business first. Understand?
Yes, yeah, that's all right with me.
That is good, then. We can go now?
Anytime you say. Sooner the better for me.
Then, if you will follow me, we go.
Again, Captain Chitwood finds himself in the role of follower. And again, he makes a roundabout journey through the alleys of the district. But with each change of guides, his goal seems to come closer and his hopes are of the highest when they finally enter another small restaurant on the other side of the district. Again, seat themselves at a small table. A short time later, his latest guide introduces him to 3 educated-looking Orientals. This time, Chitwood feels he is at last on the right track. Hiding his impatience, he follows instructions. There's nothing of the business at hand. While Mrs. Okai, Shizu, and Nagai exchange polite generalizations with him.
You are familiar with our country, Mr. Fisher?
Yes, fairly. I've been to the Orient.
It is a lovely country.
Mm-hmm. You've been in America for some time, huh, Mr. Okai?
Oh, several years.
Your English is so good, I thought you must have lived here for a good many years.
Happy to hear you say that, Mr. Spencer. It's a compliment.
You are not drinking with us, Mr. Spencer. Why is that?
I never drink when I'm doing business.
Oh, then I will drink your glass.
Well, certainly, just help yourself.
I think perhaps we should go somewhere else, eh? This place, it is tiresome.
Anything you say.
Very good. Have a place in mind. Very nice place. We will go there.
Thank you. I to be the leader at Chifford Fraser's past to perfection. Not one word of business has been mentioned. At no time has Okai so much as hinted at the thoughts running behind his mask-like oriental face. And yet Chitwood realizes that this is the supreme test. An old hand at narcotic investigation and familiar to the ways of the Oriental, he knows just what he is being subjected to. At each place, he is being carefully studied by other members of the dope ring. As he sits in the latest one, an Oriental nightclub, his thoughts are not of the happiest. Should one person recognize him, the result would be more than unpleasant. He is in so deep, there can be no turning back now. So, surrounded by his three companions, he tries to appear unconcerned.
You see, Mr. Spencer, my people are rapidly acquiring the dance customs of your country. The music, dance, even the dress.
Yes, I noticed that. It's a surprising thing.
There are many surprising things to be found here.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Nagai. I can see that.
Things that would perhaps astound even one so used to excitement. The excitement of America, I mean, after you.
Yes, I have no doubt of that, Mr. Nagai. No doubt at all.
And after a few minutes in the nightclub, Nagai suggests another place. Accordingly, the four pay their bill and leave, moving to another club. And as they sit at their table, Chitwood suddenly looks up directly into the inquiring eyes of a small Oriental standing a few feet away. For an instant, the two stare at each other. Then the Oriental turns his head away, pays no more attention to him. And Chitwood, for the first time in a long minute, breathes again. The man is a peddler who only 10 years ago he had sent to San Quentin on a narcotic charge. Suddenly, a moment later, Nagai suggests they go outside. After again paying a small bill, they leave the noisy club, huddle in the quiet street in front. And to his surprise, Chitwood sees Shizu and Okai continue on down the street, leaving him alone with Nagai.
What's the idea, Nagai? Where are your friends off to?
I am telling them to go. We will talk our own, Mr. Spencer.
And I still don't get it.
Too many people in on a deal. No one can make any profit. We do business our own.
You've been a long time coming to the point, Nagai.
I've only taken the precautions necessary. Now I'm satisfied.
Yes.
I'm informed of you are wishing £5. That is right?
That's right.
Very well. Tomorrow night, you will meet me at my hotel. I will have what you desire with me. You will have a necessary amount of money, $5,000.
Well, I've got to test the stuff first, Nagai.
Oh, that will be satisfactory, when we meet, you may do so.
Okay, if it's good, I'll take the £5 tomorrow and sign a contract to buy more each month. Now then, where's your hotel?
I will show you now. That way, will be no mistakes made tomorrow.
Good enough. Let's go.
Shown to a small hotel on East 1st Street, Chitwood asks the number of the room and is told he will be met in front. Time is set for 9 o'clock. After a brief goodbye, Chitwood covers his tracks carefully, then proceeds to headquarters, holds a conference with his assistants, Reeton and Clark.
Now, if our luck holds, we'll have Nagai cold turkey.
And if it doesn't hold, he'll have you cold copper.
That's right. Now, here's what I want you boys to do. Take this address on 1st Street and stake out there tomorrow evening. Keep out of sight and don't let anybody get suspicious of it. As soon as Nagai tells me the stuff, I'll call you and then we can take him in.
Okay, Eddie, we'll be there.
And there's nothing to do now but just wait. I'm going back to my spot before someone gets worse. See you tomorrow night at 9.
Acting upon Chitwood's instructions, Clark and Greeton stake out the hotel from a small alleyway directly across the street. For several hours, they wait in silence as the minutes tick by, bringing the appointed hour closer and closer. At 2 minutes after 9, Clark suddenly nudges Greeton, speaks in a low whisper. There's Eddie. Just drove up and parked over there.
Yeah, I see him.
Now all we got to do is hold our fingers crossed and pray a little.
Already done that.
Hey, look. Eddie's going into the hotel.
No, wait a minute. Look. That guy's stopping him. They're talking.
Yeah, so far, so good. Now, when they get inside, we better move in closer so we can hear if Eddie yells.
Yeah. What's it?
Something's up. We're heading back to Eddie's car.
I think something's gone wrong with our plans. What do we do now?
If they drive off, we better
back to their cars, Reeton and Clark drive round the block looking for Chitwood's car. But there's no sign of it. Accordingly, doing the only thing left to do, they start a wild drive through the narrow streets, hoping against hope that they will locate Chitwood in time to carry out their plan. And in another part of town, Chitwood obeys instructions as they are given him by Nagai, turning first right, then left, then right again, until all sense of direction is completely lost.
Running right out of this corner.
Right it is. You don't quite get the idea, Nagai. You said you lived in that hotel back there on First Street.
Warrior, sir. I said about it.
But you don't. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That is right, Mr. Stinks, sir.
Well, where are we going now?
You will see. Corner left here, please. It is my business, sir, to be very careful, not to take chances, Mr. Stinks.
Yeah, I agree with that, all right. Only this seems like a pretty long way to get anywhere.
You will drive in direction I give you. Then we will talk.
Okay, now, guys, your deal.
You will stop in here?
Yes, okay. Oh. Hey, what the deuce? This is within a block of the place we started from.
This is our destination, however. And now, Mr. Spencer, come. We will go into my room.
Wait a minute there. I've got an idea. Why don't you bring the stuff down here to the car? I can test it here, and if it's okay, I'll give you the money. I've got the money right here in this briefcase.
Oh, why should I doing that?
Well, it's only that I thought it might look funny, my going in this hotel, will you?
It will not look funny. Many white people go in this hotel. We were going upstairs.
Okay. What's the room number?
You will see when we get to it. Come, please.
Getting the room number and writing it on a matchbox, dropped for his assistants to find, blocked by the wise Nagai, Chitwood follows him through the lobby of one of the district's smartest hotels. Past the elevator, up a flight of stairs to the second floor. There, Nagai puts a finger to his lips, cautions Chitwood to silence.
It is best to be very quiet. My man is in the next room. He might hear us. And this is a deal between us, our own.
Okay, Nagai.
All right, sir. Oh, coming in the side. Now, please, if you will show me money.
Sure thing. Yes, there it is. $4,400. If the stuff's okay, I'll bring you the rest tomorrow.
Morphine is of very finest, sir. My brother in Orient manufactured thing. It's the very best, sir.
All right, let's see it.
All right. This is here in a suitcase. This overcoat is very fine garment, Mr. Spinster. Most valuable. You see, from lining, I remove these little packets. There is your morphine.
Let me have one of those packets.
Oh, yes, sir. Tell me.
That's first grade, all right.
It is as I am telling you. Oh, very fine stuff.
All right, my guy. Here's the money. You can have the briefcase as a gift from me.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. And here are rest of £5.
Mm-hmm, that's fine. Oh, by the way, my guy, I forgot to show you something. Take a look at this.
What? Oh, I do not understand.
Oh, don't you? It's a police badge. It means that you're under arrest.
Arrest, sir? Oh, no.
Drop those scissors.
What are you doing?
Oh, yes, you will.
No, no. Get it back. Take it away.
You're going to keep quiet. I'll have to use my gun on you.
Oh, no. Not arresting
you. All right.
No.
You're in the spot. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, stay right here.
No.
While I load this morphine into your suitcase, then you can carry it. Help anchor you down.
Getting the now thoroughly frightened and desperate Nagai down the stairs proves to be more of a job than Chitwood has bargained for. The little Oriental is determined to break away long enough to commit suicide and avoid the disgrace of arrest. And Chitwood has the task of carrying the briefcase full of money
keeping a firm grasp on Nagai's arm and holding his gun in readiness all at the same time. Twice on the way down, Nagai breaks away and Chitwood has to overpower him by force. But at last, after three stops, they reach the sidewalk. And now a new problem faces Chitwood. In groups, staring at the struggling Nagai, several Orientals stand in a circle round him, hatred in their faces. Hatred for the white man who is mistreating one of their countrymen. At any moment, they threaten to turn on him and free Nagai.
Tell your friends they better not start anything, Nagai. There'll be trouble if they do.
Let them go, and they will not harm
not
you.
Not a chance. I'll let loose with this gun first.
There are many of them, and only one of you.
Yes, if they close in on us, I'm going to let you have it, you understand?
That is of no importance to me now. They will make it very unpleasant for you afterwards. I warn you would be... Oh, what is that?
I think that's what I've been hoping would arrive today.
Terrible!
Oh,
looks like a young riot here, Eddie. Guess we found you just in time.
For once in your life, Ray, you've hit it right on the nose. Say, how'd you find me?
Well, Clark and I have been touring the city ever since you left that hotel on First Street. Just happened to see your car up the street a ways and this mob here. Figured it might be you.
Oh, boy, am I glad to see you. Come on, hold this mob back a while I get our friend Nagai in the car. And keep hold of that suitcase there. It's Mr. Nagai's passport to jail.
Because they're in possession of a store of their favorite narcotics, or because they know where their supply can be obtained without much trouble, are sure danger signs for police or federal narcotic bureaus. It means that somewhere in their strong barrier against the traffic is a leak, and that the deadly drugs can be obtained with comparative ease. And every ounce of narcotic means the making of more and more dangerous criminals. In the case you have just heard, the smuggling ring was smashed by the astute, fearless detective work of one narcotic bureau official who faced a show-up by the dope peddlers. The amount of narcotics recovered by the lone work of this officer was enough to poison a whole city full of people. Realize the dangers that threaten us and those we hold dear. Make this problem a personal one, and so understand its significance to us individually and as members of a civilized community threatened by this constant danger. The work of these officers proves that crime does not pay.